Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones.
Welcome, dear one, to the Emily Alexina podcast. I'm Emily, and I'm interested in finding and nourishing our highest human potential. I believe humans have much more beauty and goodness to share with each other and with nature, much more than we have expressed in recent centuries, although we have seen glimpses of it. I'm excited about our future. On this podcast, you will hear mine and other stories on themes like motherhood, birth, holistic healing, spiritual healing, education, and farming. Support my work by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Also consider making a financial donation via the link in the show notes. I'm currently saving for new microphones. Music is by Kate Sutherland.
Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.
Hi everyone, Emily back here today. I just recorded the last episode, so I'm kind of trying to record many in one sitting now that I have more time and space as the girls are away this week. It's a bit strange for me to do so because I realize this will be aired, you know, maybe 2 or 3 days after the other one. Podcasting is an interesting thing, guys. And the more you do it, the more you realize the little nuances of everything, like everything, I guess, in life. I wanted to talk about teaching children how to read and write in 3 languages, nonetheless, or more. And in the last episode, I realized that I was, you know, homeschool diaries episode. I spoke about Martinmas and our lantern walk and putting on a play and all these things. And I didn't talk about the academic side of our homeschool, which, as you can see, is not the greatest priority for the moment. Sometimes I find that really hard because I'm a bit more academically inclined, I would say. I love studying anything. I was a straight A student in school, even in university and engineering, even despite hating it, which I don't necessarily think is all a good thing. I think that we need to teach our kids to follow their hearts and not just do something for the sake of doing it without our heart being into it. I mean, maybe that's useful sometimes, but yeah, I lost myself, I think, in my studies, and I had a lot of confidence from, and my self-esteem was attached to being a straight A student, which is something I'll watch out for with my children or any other child that I work with. So slowing down on academics is a hard thing for me to like fully accept and trust. And in the Waldorf world, they do begin slower with children and then ramp things up around the age of maybe 10, 11, 12. But they focus more on like emotional, spiritual, physical development in the early years, especially 7 and under, and even, you know, 9 and under, 9, 10 and under. Because one of their beliefs is that if you push too much on the intellectual and mental, which young children are not innately wanting to do, then you interfere with the other developments. And from what I have witnessed, this slow progression has been perfect timing for my 9-year-old. Getting to doing all of our lessons is a challenge with having the baby and having the 5-year-old and trying to run a household and trying to do some kind of work. And yet, what we're doing, the little bit that we're doing, is allowing her to progress quite rapidly. So she just turned 9 in November, and I did start with her doing kind of Waldorf grade 1 when she was 6 and a half. It was in the spring or the winter, just after she turned 6, and we were just introducing letters and, you know, super basic words like ami and lac and words like that. So French is our main language of instruction. I speak to the children only in French when there's no one else around. And so it's very important. So I want, you know, my girls to have a good grasp of the French language, grammar, writing in general, expressing themselves through writing. And with my 9-year-old, it's incredible to see the leaps that she makes even without too many lessons. We've been focusing on cursive, and she wrote a little text on the axolotl, which is a creature I didn't know about. It's this like salamander type thing that can regenerate many parts of its body. It's from Mexico. So I was really excited to learn something from her. And I encourage that. Growing up, I found I would sometimes come to my parents with new things I had learned, and they would brush it off like, oh, that's not true. Like, what are you talking about? That's not true. And so I find it's really important with kids to ask them the new things that they've learned, to be interested and to be open to learning from them. And I will say I was even guilty of, you know, saying, I think you're mispronouncing this thing. I don't think there's anything in the world called an axolotl. Nope, she knew it. It's exactly how it's spelled, how we pronounce it. Axolotl. It's kind of an old indigenous Mexican word, I believe. And so we got her to write out something on that. She was very interested in it for a little bit. We've been practicing her calligraphy and her letters, and it's coming along so well. And she can read in French and English, and the more she reads, the easier it's becoming for her to read. English, I think, is a bit more of like an intuitive language. Once you start getting it, it's not as complicated. And also the books that we have access to in our home in English are a more like colloquial or relaxed style of English. And some of the French books that we have are more of an elevated French that we don't really use in our day-to-day. So I find that my daughter has actually been resistant to reading in French more than in English. She's also really into these books, Wings of Fire, which a friend lent to her. And of course, when our friends are reading something, we want to read the same thing as them, and there's a social aspect of it. And so she's not so interested in reading in French, but just recently she found a book that we had got from the library, Fables of Animals. She loves anything with animals at the moment. And they're kind of short sentences with big images, but also stories that are interesting enough to her that she's quite enjoying this book. So I find that's a win. And I'm getting her to read other texts of workbooks that I have. Now, I know Waldorf education is not usually very big on workbooks. I find that at the stage that we're at the moment, I don't have the time to prepare the deeper Waldorf lessons that are meant to be like well prepared by the teacher, integrated into like our being and soul, and then given back to the child through our own digestion and heart and soul process. And so it's kind of a unique lesson created by us for the child. A workbook obviously is less unique and more of a blanket lesson. But I am finding that the little bit of the skills that are being built in these books are helping tremendously for sentence writing and even just reading exercises. And we don't do too much of them. I try to do, on the days that I have energy, I try to do, you know, maybe half an hour. So that's maybe four or five times a week. And the progress is incredible. The progress is incredible. And I love that. I love that about that we can do that with homeschooling, that we can kind of plant the seed and then allow the child to take that into their life and apply it in their life. So she's been asking me even to, you know, she asks at night, Mommy, at night, can we sit down and just write in our journals together? And because she knows that I do that. So that's a practice that I'd like to develop. So that's one thing I find is reading is coming along really easily. She is understanding the text that she's reading. She can answer all the questions. We have reading workbooks, and that's easy breezy. Encouraging different ways for her to write and ways that she likes to write, and also encouraging her to remember spelling rules of some kind. Oh my gosh, I feel like that's abysmal at the moment. Is a bit more tricky. But I find as an adult, I tried to have her see me writing. So I'll like write out a grocery store list on a paper instead of on my phone, or I will, you know, write in cards or write to people or write the list for the day, like handwritten. One thing I've also always done is that the Tooth Fairy writes long letters, the Switch Witch and Santa Claus write long letters, handwritten. And so that's when she was 6, 7, that was like a way to encourage her to want to read, because she was very resistant and kind of, I thought, slow on reading. And I think that has worked, because now she likes to write letters back to the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus and Switch Witch, even though she knows that they're me. I think she still just likes the magic of it and the surprise of finding something. And so with learning to read and write in French and English reading, we haven't been focusing on English writing. I'm going to try to develop a good foundation, strong foundation in French writing for the next year or two, and then bring in English writing and dictation. This one leader, Melissa Nielsen, in homeschooling, she says that like spelling and dictation for her was never really important because autocorrect is a thing nowadays. I personally, as like more of a, I don't know, classically, academically inclined person in some ways. Honestly, I think it's a past life influence. I've seen a past life where I was studying like the ancient Greek mystical schools, like with Socrates or something. I didn't see Socrates specifically, but some kind of those kind of classical esoteric spiritual schools as a man, and who was also a teacher. And so I feel like he comes through me sometimes where I feel, that I want to do a bit more, like push a little bit more than, oh, well, this is good enough for them to, you know, work and be happy in life. Vitaly sometimes grounds me in that, where he reminds me that not every child needs this or is interested, and to kind of be able to zoom out a little bit. So I appreciate his perspective. He was a child like that. And still, I think that dictation and learning to spell words is a great memory exercise for the brain. And it helps us to pay attention. And another thing I'm interested in with talking about the kids is kind of the history of words and where do words come from? Like, what languages do they come from? So I try to share with them my excitement about different words. Podcast series that we really loved and that I would love to go back to is Julie's Library, I believe it's called, and it's by Julie Andrews, who played Mary Poppins in the movies. And she, like, they invite authors and they tell story, and the author reads the story. And at the end of the podcast, she kind of says, like, what's your favorite word from the story? You have to pick a favorite word. And they say, like, one would be like delicious. They'd say, I love the way it sounds. I love the way my tongue moves when I say the word. I love what it means and like how this word, I don't know, the word sounds, like what it's talking about. And they just talk about the word. And they also, in that podcast episode, have other children share their favorite words And some kids share like ice cream, unicorn, you hear all their voices. And I think this stuck with us. It stuck with my eldest, who it just made us excited about words and language. And so that's something that I try to keep in the back of my mind as we do school and homeschool, is to maintain this excitement for language. Language allows us to communicate ideas, right? It's super important. And so I try to keep this alive. I do read poetry to the kids. I have a few different like French poetry books, and sometimes I'll just bring it out and I'll say, I'm choosing the story and I'm reading the poetry. And of course, many times they resist it. And now they actually have begun to love it because they appreciate the sounds. And there are some in the one book that I have that are really funny poems that kind of seem to make no sense, but they just absolutely love them. I have this wonderful book that has a poem for every day of the year. There, it's a French version of a version that exists in English. So if you're interested in that, like, shoot me a message and I can point you in the right direction. Yes, and so Russian for my 9-year-old is also coming along because she's understanding now this concept of what reading is. She can actually read in Russian pretty well. She's learned the Russian letters with her grandparents and with Vitaly, my man, and she can. And Russian is a more it's kind of like Spanish, where the letters and that you see, you pronounce them all, and it's not like French or English, really. English is pretty ridiculous with this too, where sometimes the pronunciation doesn't really follow any rule, but Russian is more standard in that way. So she's doing pretty well reading in Russian, but I think that's something we have to improve upon and also get her to do some copy work of copying Russian poems and things. But I think that will come as Vitaly and I have more space and are less distracted by the baby as he gets older. I think too that as my 5-year-old grows up, we're going to be getting into some really cool homeschooling years. She is like technically in kindergarten. She'll be turning 6 in March. And in Waldorf schooling, they usually start grade 1 in the spring after they turn 6, I believe. So my second, Rada, will be turning 6 in March. She'll have a full spring. And then in the September, technically, she would be starting grade 1. With my eldest, she turned 6 in November. And I think I started that May when she was 6.5, instead of waiting all the way to September. Because I didn't want her to be too far behind. So I kind of got her a little bit ahead. Then we had the baby. And now she's like exactly on the Waldorf schedule. And also in Quebec, having a November birthday, she would actually be in grade 3, whereas in Ontario, she would be in grade 4. So anyway, in the homeschooling world, really, I think that doesn't really matter. In the world of humans and just life, it doesn't matter. I'm sometimes thinking more about these things a bit more because I feel like she's behind her 4th grade peers, you know, in our culture here where we live. So I think about that, but she, my 9-year-old is very interesting. She's very humble in that she, even sometimes my 5-year-old will like answer a question faster or get something quicker. And she'll be like, oh yeah, you know, like some people are just better at some things than other people. Like she, super chill and humble about it. There's no like self-esteem thing about it at all. It's kind of incredible to see because I'm like, ooh, don't you feel a bit weird that your little sister can get this before you? And for her at the moment, there's none of that. I have a friend who has 4 kids, and the eldest is 11.5 and the second is 8.5, so about my eldest's age. And in that family, the second daughter is also kind of quicker with math and different things than the eldest, and the eldest does get frustrated about it. So I'm curious to see how this shifts over time. One thing I hope to be able to maintain is separate lessons for the different girls, that they're different ages and stages. For example, my five-year-old has even been asking about, she wants more workbooks to be doing like her sister. She wants to learn to read. And I told her, I'm looking for workbooks for you. It's hard to find things that are not too baby, but also not teaching her to read yet. And she said, oh, but I want to learn how to read. And even Leia, my eldest, says, I want her, she wants to read. She wants to learn how to read. It's, and then we sit down and I say, Rad, I don't have a workbook. Let's just, can you do a picture of the lantern story that we told? So in kindergarten, it's kind of more about light stories about nature and fairies and creatures and little tales that aren't like too intense, but just that are fun and pleasant, like the story of the lantern girl who, I love this story. she sets out for a walk and the wind blows out her flame. And so she walks through the woods and is asking for people to help her find the light. And someone says, oh, you have to go up the mountain. And anyway, it's a bit of a longer story, but she ends up going all the way up the mountain and falling asleep. And the stars come down and kiss the lantern and light it up. And then she walks back down and she shares her fire with all the people on her way back. It's a beautiful story. So little stories like that. And then she can do a picture of it. And in this case, what we did this time was she wanted me to write out a story that she was coming up with. So I thought that was a great exercise. She had an idea. She was telling me her sentences and I wrote them out for her. And that's, I feel like that's where I can see really where she's at. Like, cause she's not trying to read the letters that I'm putting on the page. That is like the intellectual, conceptual, abstract part of language and writing. She's really in the stage of understanding stories, remembering stories, being able to tell stories. And they're like alive for her in her imaginary world and in her real world. And, the letters are kind of abstract intellectual concepts that, I mean, she could, if I wanted to, I could probably teach her how to read right now. But I think it's just so good for her to stay in that age of innocence a little bit longer. Also, once kids learn how to read, they can read everything, right? They can read billboards and signs outside and text messages and things on the internet. And I find that they need a certain level of maturity to sometimes be able to handle certain things. So I feel like I'm happy to keep that from her for a while. I have another close friend who also educates her children in the Waldorf style, especially in the early years. And she waited, I think, until her son was 8 and a half to start Waldorf grade one. She had a daughter. Okay, he was 7 and a half. So she had a daughter who's 16 months behind the first child. And she did their grade one at the same time. So the youngest was just after 6. And the eldest was like 7 and a half, almost 8, when he started learning his letters. And now he is turning 11 this year, and he's reading chapter books, you know? So, and she was an English teacher herself, and she kind of delved into the Waldorf ideas, and she also knew her son. He's a bit more of an anxious character. He's definitely very sensitive to things, and he can really dive into subjects like really deeply and obsessively. And she thought that if he began reading too early, it would just take away a level of innocence and of his play that she felt he actually needed for his development to round him out a little bit better before getting into something more intellectual and conceptual like reading and writing. I hope to bring her on the podcast to actually talk about if she has any reflections or if she would do anything differently or how that's going for her now. And so with my five-year-old, what's been very fun in the past month or two, especially the past month, I think I've had more time to even notice, is I've noticed that she can handle longer stories. Last year, for example, what used to happen was I was actually able to read some pretty cool texts and chapter books with my eldest, and the four-year-old would just fall asleep. She would be interested in only very short stories, and then she would fall asleep early, and I would be able to get into like longer, more interesting chapter books with the eldest. Now the five-year-old is able to listen and be more involved and question and think about stories a lot more. And so it's been really fun. I find it really fun to get her involved. And so I'm picking out the same books that I read to my eldest like 3 years ago, like Beatrix Potter and other fun books, trying to keep, you know, still an elevated level of French and language. I find the Waldorf type children's books are great for that. They recommend, elevated language and beautiful pictures, ideally like watercolor or something more artistic, because everything that they see influences them, and the kind of cartoon computer generated images don't hold as much soul perhaps in them. We still have some of them in the home, but I try to intentionally pick the more artistic books. Another thing for those kind of interested in Waldorf homeschooling is that they actually don't recommend any kind of books for ages like four and under, maybe even five and under. They suggest that parents should be telling their stories like from their heart, and even having picture books that don't have a story in them, and where you and the child can invent a different story every time for the book, or talk about the images, or, you know, imagine what the character could be doing or thinking about, creates a lot more spaciousness and openness, because a book with a story written into it is a bit rigid and a bit closed, and they pay close attention to like being open-minded, being imaginative, and being creative. So that's something to keep in mind as well. I try to pull out stories from my imagination that I create for the girls on the spot every once in a while. I find it, I have to be in the right mood for it, because it can take a lot of energy. Although sometimes I can be tired and I don't feel like reading anything, and I want to just dive into an imagined story. And the more I practice, the better I get with it. I tell the girls that, you know, because they ask, can you invent a story? Can you tell us? I have kind of two stories going right now. One is about four marmots that are traveling to find a golden key. And another is about four children who are traveling to find a dragon. We haven't gone back to that one in a while, but I tell them that I have to go into my mind and find the storybook and open it up, and I need a minute. I like meditate, close my eyes as I try to put the story together that I'm going to tell, and I tell them I'm going to find that storybook in the library in my mind. And I find that's fun for them, because then they can think of the stories that they want to be imagining and making up. When I was younger, my grandfather would make up stories for us at night, and all the grandchildren remember these stories so fondly. Of it was these two birds, and they often had to like go through a chocolate wall or fly over it to get into another world. And so in my stories, I have a chocolate wall as well that the marmots had to go through. And there's like different in the Waldorf world, they're very big on storytelling. That's kind of how the lessons are taught around language in the first 2 years. And truly what I'm realizing is that teaching and learning anything is just learning the story of it. It's all storytelling, all of it. Everything is storytelling. And so one thing I'm working on with my five-year-old is recalling stories and remembering, okay, can you remember things in order? What did we talk about? What happened to the character? And being able to recall those bits and put them in order is practicing their memory and is making sure that they're kind of paying attention to things when they're listening, which is building the foundation for
paying attention in a lesson, you know, when they're 10, 11, 12 years old. So I love it. I love it all. I find it fascinating. I found it hard last year that I couldn't do as much of these quote unquote schooly stuff. And I feel like I'm flourishing now that there's a bit more space for it, even being able to host the lantern walk and put on a play. You know, it was like smaller than what I would do probably without a baby. But I feel like I'm kind of opening up and flourishing as there's more space. And it's really sweet. Trying to think. Oh yeah, the girls are doing Duolingo in Russian. My husband is trying to find like different ways of upkeeping the Russian. God bless him for his tenacity with it. I mean, I suppose I'm quite tenacious with my French as well. But they are doing Duolingo and they're enjoying it. And it's like their little screen time in the Waldorf world, of course, like screen time and technology is reduced to a minimum or nothing until they're like 12 or 13, I think. And I think it's a good balance. I think it's fun for them to do a little bit. And my five-year-old is learning, I guess, to read in Russian through Duolingo. And that's fine with me because she won't be exposed to too much Russian in the house or in public. So I think that could be cool. Imagine she learns to read in Russian before she does in French or English. One thing that another Waldorf mentor said about teaching children many languages, she suggested to focus on one language, reading and writing, developing a strong foundation before bringing in anything else. And I find in our case, our children learned to speak all three languages more or less at the same time. And so learning to read is a similar thing where they, as soon as they understand the concept of reading, of putting the symbols together and creating the words, they already have a strong base of the spoken language in French, English, and Russian. And so reading, once they understand the concept of reading, they can dive into those languages too. So I haven't found that the necessity of keeping things separate. In terms of teaching grammar and writing and spelling, we will be focusing on French and trying to get a good foundation in that. And of course, that foundation in the language will help them in any other language that they're going to study. And personally, I'm very excited to dive into some other cool languages like Welsh or Hindi or Arabic or Sanskrit and Latin and Greek. You know, I like to dream big and just see where we go. So even if we can touch upon a few of those languages or just superficially touch upon them, it's personally something I'm excited to explore with them. And I hope that they will be open and following me along. So I hope this was helpful for you. Don't hesitate to reach out at the links posted below, either by email or on the social media. It's very helpful when you guys reach out, and if you have any specific questions, you want me to dive deeper into a subject, don't hesitate to ask, or if you have comments, I'd love to be sharing what other people have, you know, thought about the episodes and kind of creating a bit more of a dialogue. I hope to be able to show up for you guys on this platform more often. And I am working on building like an email list and a newsletter that will kind of say what's happening locally and what I'm working on online. A friend and I are in the works of working on a virtual community, like kind of a closed private community that will be coming in the winter or spring with like weekly and monthly online gatherings. And I hope to have like a summer festival that's associated with that pretty soon. If not this summer, then the next. And I'm working on a pregnancy journal, following the moon, building relationship with the moon and kind of working with that moon lunar energy in pregnancy, more kind of the emotional, psychological, spiritual aspects of our journeys as women, mothers in pregnancy and birth and postpartum. And with that, I wish you the most beautiful day. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.